his wife got me hooked on So You Think You Can Dance. So I have to admit, occasionally I'll watch that show. How tall am I? I am 73 inches tall. Is that right? Yes. 6'1". What is your favorite song? My favorite song? On my iPod, I think the most frequently played album is, have you guys heard of Matt Kearney? I really like his new CD. I think it's called City of Black and White, so I listen to that like all the time. I don't know if you're like me, but when you find a song that you like, do you play it on repeat like a bajillion times? Or are you like, oh no, I can only play it once a day because I gotta savor it? Yes. See, I just play songs on repeat. Like, I could drive all the way back to Illinois and play, like, the same song over and over. Okay, maybe not the same song over for 6 hours, but... But anyways, hey, before we get started, why don't we show off our massage-giving skills? I think it'll get us going. So let's stand up with space that way. That way first. And remember your moves, okay? Great. I really enjoyed that. I think I have to admit, I was reading this morning and just kind of praying and thinking. I have to admit, the reason I come to retreats whenever I'm invited is because I like the spiritual high. I like coming here and being inspired by you. I like coming here and being encouraged to see how God is moving in your life. And I think last night at the open mic, you've heard how your fellow peers are struggling, are fighting, are hurting, are enduring, are rejoicing and exhorting. And for me, I that just pumps me up. So I love doing this stuff because I get inspired. But anyways, Psalm 27. The Psalms are a compilation of poems, hymns, songs that celebrate or honor or commemorate agony, frustration, celebration, doubt, joy, gloom, sadness, grief. It's like an emotional bank for the Christian. In it, you'll find virtually every experience that you'll face as a Christian. And that's why I like turning to it frequently, because it helps us through difficult times. It celebrates with us, and it cries with us, in a sense. You see, there, in a way, it's like peering into the people of old and how they worshipped and the songs that they sung. I don't know if you listen to a song or you have a favorite song, but most of us, we have favorite songs not because they have incredible beats or melodies, but because they have powerful words. You know, there's a song that comes immediately to mind and you love it, and occasionally you even cry to it because you go, that's my life. That's she or he is singing about my life. And it's one of your favorites. And I think that's what the Psalms do for Christians. They describe our life. I think it's appropriate that we close with Psalm 27 because it's a summary of actually what we've done this whole weekend. And as I read this Psalm, maybe you'll pick off clues. They go, oh yeah, I remember, that's about the rich man. Or, oh yeah, that's about Paul. Or that's about the blind person. So let me read Psalm 27. I'll pray, and we'll make our way. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evil men advance against me to devour my flesh, when my enemies and my foes attack me, they will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then will I be confident. Verse 4, one thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. For in the day of trouble he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his tabernacle and set me high upon a rock. Then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me. At his tabernacle will I sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord. Verse 7. Hear my voice when I call, O Lord. Be merciful to me and answer me. My heart says of you, seek his face. Your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my helper. Do not reject me or forsake me, O God, my Savior. Though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. Teach me your way, O Lord. Lead me in a straight path because of my oppressors. Do not hand me over to the desire of my foes, for false witnesses rise up against me, breathing out violence. I'm still confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. Father, we come to you and we want to wait for you. We want to wait for your help. We want to wait for your comfort. We want to wait for your hand to intercede in the matters of our lives. And yet, Father, we need to be reminded that you are not some mystical genie that we rub you and we say, hey, God, give us this. That you are not persuaded by our arguments. You're not, we're not those who cast our wishes upon you. But you are a God who is in absolute control, and you do things for our good and for your glory. And so, Father, as we come to the conclusion of this time together this weekend, we ask, Lord, that you would remind us of things. That you would bury these things deep in our hearts. And for some of us, it's relevant for now. And for others of us, a situation will arise in later days. And hopefully we can recall these words that we've heard this weekend. And so would you help us? We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. It's the writer C.S. Lewis who wrote The Chronicles of Narnia, Mere Christianity, Problem of Pain, a lot of Christian literature. He wrote this. He says, it is more important for a Christian to be reminded than for a Christian to be taught. And what he's trying to get at is oftentimes Christians need to be reminded because we often forget. I don't remember much, but I'm the oldest of four kids, and when I was growing up, my dad, you guys play with micro machines? Do you guys even know what micro machines are? I had a collection of micro machines. All the older guys are like, yes! But micro machines... were these little toys that were cars, airplanes, and they're micro, you know. And I was hiding behind our couch one day, and I was, you know, the cars were attacking the airplanes, and, you know, I was, you know. And my dad peers over the couch. This was when I was in middle school. My dad peers over the couch, and he says, Bing, I need to tell you something. And he's done this on a number of occasions, and it's usually when I'm goofing off or screwing around that he says, Bing, I need to tell you something. And he told me in that instance, he said, Bing, remember every second you waste in your life, you'll never get back. I was like, okay, yeah, whatever. And on another occasion, he told me something that is more and more true. Bing, you will always forget no matter how hard you try to remember. And I was like, there's certain things I'll never forget. Actually, there are certain things that you think you'll never forget, but the memory begins to fade. And it begins to diminish. And the only way to hold on to memories is to remind yourself. And I think that's like the Christian walk. I think that's what C.S. Lewis is trying to get at. That you and I, yes, we need to be taught, but more importantly, you and I often need to be reminded. That's why your parents tell you the exact same thing 18 billion times within the same hour, because we are either disobedient or we tend to forget really quickly. But I think for us as Christians, we need to be reminded. So this morning, I want to remind us of a few things that we looked at, and then look at pretty much one matter at the end of the psalm. When did you guys, I'll do something a little bit different. What did you guys observe in this psalm? What's the feel of the psalm? Imagine you were rapping it, or chanting it, or singing it, or playing it. What's the feel that you get? Is it a sad one? Is it gloomy? Is the melody in minor key? I mean, what's the feel? Anyone? You can't really have a wrong answer. It's like hype music, okay? It's like maybe like techno type of. What else? Okay, he feels hype, like excited hype? Okay, uplifting, that's a great word. What else? They just call on people? Does that make it scarier? Because I only know a handful of names. I could just pick one. What else? What's the feel? What are some words that are repeated? I think that's a clue. Okay, there's a yearning. There's a longing. He's saying, God, don't do these things to me. Don't let this fall onto me. Okay, it's uplifting. There's yearning. Is he doubtful? What is David the psalmist? What's the feel of it? Is he saying, oh, I'm dead, I'm destroyed, my God failed me, it's all over, just bury me? Is that the feel? What's the opposite of doubtful? Confident. It actually occurs a couple of times in the text. The psalmist is very confident. He's almost saying, like, bring it. You know, mount the army. Bring the forces. Because in the end, I'm still confident my God will utterly crush you. What other feelings do you get? I think those three observations are very good. It's uplifting. There's a sense of urgency, there's a longing, and lastly, there's one of confidence. And as we look at this psalm, just highlighting confidence, immediately you begin to think, hey, David had his confidence in the right place, in God. I mean, look at his circumstances. I think he's actually being literal. He's not being a poet and saying, yeah, all the armies have surrounded me. They really had. Saul and his army were stalking him or tracking him, trying to take his life because he was the next king of Israel. And so look at the images are so graphic. When evil men advance against me to devour my flesh. They're trying to eat me, God. Totally destroy me. And David's confidence rests in God. And as you recall, earlier in the weekend, we talked about two men in particular. There was a rich young ruler whose confidence was what? Misplaced. In his wealth. In his riches. In his accomplishments. And it's contrasted with who? Paul. Who virtually had the same thing, but his confidence was what? Hey, there's one thing I do. I forget all of that. And I strive and I strain forward to what's ahead. You see, the Christian's confidence always rests in God. That's where the anchor of your soul is. That is the hope of your salvation. David's situation was so dire, so bad, but his confidence was so high. There ain't no mountain high enough. You know, there's does the song go? Have you seen the movie? Ain't no mountain high enough. Ain't no. Well, it's from. It's from what's the movie? Remember the Titans. There's nothing that you cannot overcome with God's help. You know, and because in Him you have total confidence. And so my question to you again to remind us is, where do you put your confidence? When things get tough, what are you relying upon? I think for those of us who are older and who have suffered a little, we begin to see that the circumstances in our life, we can't control that well. Certain things happen to you and you can't control it. You can't steer life in the direction, in the perfect direction you want it to go. Some of you are planners, and you have a 27-year plan after high school, college, grad school, med school, residency, millionaire, married, kid, da-da-da-da-da-da. Some of you, but it will never go that way. I had a plan, and my plan really didn't turn out to be my plan, because God's plan is better. Where is your confidence?